This is 4-State Focus. News Radio 930 WFMD talks to newsmakers throughout Frederick and surrounding counties.
And welcome to the 4-State Focus Show. It is another weekend. We are on location here this weekend at a beautiful building on the creek. VCRE owner Tony C. joining me. Tony, thank you so much. There are a lot of things happening. You are the man in the know as far as development, commercial real estate. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Ryan, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah. So there's so many things going on. We're going to start with development on 40 because there's some things that I didn't know that are happening, like, for instance, in the Il Forno shopping center, that those businesses have actually been put on notice saying that their leases aren't going to be renewed as a potential redevelopment of that whole shopping center comes to fruition.
Yeah, Ryan, that's a project that's in the works right now. It's being reviewed by the city. And I haven't seen the detailed plans, but from what I've learned, that there's a proposal to rezone that property to mixed use, and that will cause some of the existing businesses to be relocated. The Il Forno's Pizzeria, which is awesome, has been there for decades.
It's iconic in Frederick.
Yeah, great chicken strips too. JP and his family might have to either be reincorporated back into the project somehow, mm-hmm. or be forced to move elsewhere. And he's not alone. There are three other projects similar to that one in and around Frederick. There's one behind the fairgrounds, 550 Highland. That complex is being demolished to make way for new modern warehouses. There's a project that's on pending at Evergreen Point, where Goodwill and Tool in Hand are, that is going to make way for, hold your breath, wait for it, another Royal Farms.
How many Royal Farms? Do we have a Royal Farms counter in the city?
I'm gonna start a counter for, yeah, Royal Farms and Sheetz's and Wawa's, because you just can't drive far enough away from one of those.
You can't get enough fresh coffee in the city these days.
At Rutter's. And then there's another project that has caught a lot of press at West Patrick Street in the Terrace Lane Bowling Alley. Mm-hmm. That project is underway right now. Again, Mexicali Cantina, the Charm City Run, the Bowling Alley, those businesses are being forced to relocate. Fortunately, Mexicali Cantina owners recently purchased the Casa Rico at the end of the Golden Mile. So I think that'll be a positive, not that there was anything wrong with Casa Rico, but the Mexicali Cantina's got some amazing pollo asado, my God. So they're a great operator. Yeah. And Charm City, I understand Charm City Run has found a location up by the Common Market over at 7th Street. They'll be relocating up there.
So let's put a bookmark in that talk. I want to identify who you are. Of course, you're branded across the city. People know you. You've been, you're well-established for three decades. You've been doing this thing, residential, commercial. How did you get your start, and what do you think is the perpetuator for a lot of this growth? I mean, nobody has a better perspective than you, Tony.
So I got my start in real estate as a backup plan when I was in college. I was going to go to law school. I didn't do well on the LSATs. I took the real estate exam the summer between my junior and senior year, and I guess I'm going to stick with real estate. It stuck with me. Yeah. It fit my DNA, and I've been blessed in my career. I've worked in residential, started the residential office at Long & Foster, and then moved to a company called Frederick Land Company and spent better part of 20 years working on land and then evolved into commercial real estate. VCRE, which is an acronym, stands for Verita Commercial Real Estate, was born in February of 2016, and we're a small boutique commercial brokerage. Frederick County, we're in downtown Frederick. Frederick County's been blessed by geography. Mm-hmm. We're the apex of the triangle. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Washington, apex is Frederick County. Frederick County planning and zoning, over the decades that I've been in real estate, we have experienced what I will call ping pong planning. Mm. We've had these extreme positions of growth, no growth, growth, no growth. And unfortunately, I am not a pro-growther or a no-growther. Mm-hmm. What I am advocating for and what I long for is balanced growth, managed growth. We need to plan for growth and allow that plan to be executed in the way that it was originally drafted, and not have the influence of politician will, political will, influence those plans, as I have witnessed.
Yeah. How big of an influencer is politics? Is it everything we're seeing today in terms of, you know, we've heard about the Amazon stuff and, you know, there's certain personalities that are pro no growth. What do you attribute that ping pong mentality to?
I attribute it to a very simple thing, that all of us are busy in our own worlds. And I live and breathe this stuff, so I see it inside out. But let me ask you something. Do you ever drive on Route 15 after 2 p.m.?
Or yes, to? Yes.
The parking lot known as?
It is a parking
lot. And God bless anyone who commutes down 270 until they get to Clarksburg. There's no relief, and sometimes it's worse than that. So I think for most people, Ryan, I think it's, you know, the frustration of being in gridlock, in traffic, and then wanting to say, well, what caused that? Well, the most logical thing to connect it to is growth. Whether it's residential or commercial growth, it's traffic. And unfortunately, with this ping pong planning, I have seen inconsistencies in terms of the execution of the plans. I'll give you an example. The city of Frederick's master plan has a road that would start north of Urbana by the Overlook and connect to Route 15 north of Biggs Ford Road. It's called the North-South Parallel Road. Frederick County took it out of its master plan, now known as the Livable Frederick Master Plan. So the city is saying, hey, we really would like to see some relief, an outer beltway, if you will, kind of like in Montgomery County where they have the ICC connector.
Right.
And the county has said, no, we don't want that. So there's an obvious disconnection between city and county comp plans. And now what we're seeing in the county is an extremely conservative and overly protective overlay in the southern region of Frederick County that's going to impact the 270 Route 80 interchange dramatically, which could cut off and prevent Frederick County from ever being able to grow 270 to accommodate today. Forget 20 years from now. I'm talking about today. It's two lanes from Clarksburg into Frederick and into the city of Frederick through 15. Are we ever going to see an opportunity for Frederick to capitalize on the economic impact that development could allow for? This is my biggest frustration, Ryan. I think developers and the county could work hand in foot to solve these infrastructure problems. The political wills to see that brokering happen. And that's where we fall short.
When you look at a deal like, I know we're jumping all over the place, but you look at a deal like Amazon would have brought billions and billions and changed a lot of lives. I mean, what are developers saying after that deal publicly, very publicly, fell apart? Do developers trust that they will be able to come in here and do things? Or are they a little bit disenchanted by the politics of things like that Amazon deal?
Yeah, I think any developer, I hear them say this: we want predictability and we will perform. Tell us what the rules are and we will perform. And, you know, developers negotiate deals for a living. And I sometimes feel that the county's at a disadvantage because it's not what the county does. The county's not a developer, but needs to be.
Yeah.
And so there could be better brokering, if you will, of deals. And again, that's what I do for a living, so I understand that. So if for any developer, whether it's a residential project or a commercial project, they want to know what the rules are, what the fee structure is, and they're simply responding to a market demand. If that market demand doesn't exist, whether it's housing or commercial retail center or warehouse or whatever it is, then the developer's not going to be interested in doing that project, because ultimately the developer's doing it for a profit or they won't do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when a situation like what happened with a missed opportunity for development of an Amazon data center in Southern Frederick County goes away and years are put into working on a project like that and it doesn't get to the finish line, I can imagine that any developer looking at that would say, well, I really don't know that that's a municipality or a county that I want to try to do any work in, because I don't know where, you know, I could spend years trying to get to the finish line and then it all blows up at the end.
And I know you weren't intimately involved with that deal, but I mean, if you were somebody at Amazon and you're thinking, man, we could capitalize and make billions, but you're stymied by whatever political interference, what do you think they're thinking?
Yeah, I wasn't involved in that. It's all, it's a missed opportunity. What I'm thinking is that any developer, you know, whether it's Amazon or any developer, again, they want predictability. They want to be able to go in to a municipality or a town or a county, meet with the officials, understand what the needs are, work with the officials to resolve the problems. Because at the end of the day, think about it this way, Ryan. If I build a development, if I'm a developer, I'm going to build a development. I want it to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I want my customers to be happy, whether it's residential or commercial. We want them to be successful because that success brings positivity. It brings opportunity for raising tax revenue that can be put back into the community through nonprofits, through school systems, libraries, fire rescue services. All of it is interconnected. And if we don't plan for that growth to happen in a balanced and structured and uniform way, we all lose. Right now, I fear the Sugarloaf Small Area Plan that's being contemplated by the county council, if it goes through the way it's being proposed without any of the amendments that have been made getting approved, we're going to cut off the lifeline of Frederick County. And this ping-ponging planning that we were all told, I was told and led to believe that the livable Frederick Master Plan was going to correct, It's Groundhog Day, brother. We're right back to where we were pre-livable Frederick. Mm. And, you know, the livable Frederick Master Plan itself, the master document, calls for that area and that interchange not to be part of the small area plan of Sugarloaf, and it got sucked into it. And there's other small area plans that all are supposed to sync up. The next one in line is the Route 355-85 corridor small area plan, where the county is saying that we want to see increased density and increased population. Well, how are we going to get there? Mm. How will traffic be able to flow if we're cutting off the pipeline that comes into Frederick? We have 8 lanes going from Frederick to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We have 4 right. going from Frederick right. to Clarksville.
And it's a literal parking lot between 6 and 8. Talking to Tony C., he's the owner of VCRE. He's been a residential and commercial broker for 30 years. Let's talk real quick about the soccer complex that you ran. Why did you get into that? How did you fall into that?
So Frederick Indoor Sports Center, thanks for bringing that up, Ryan. I'm recovering from that. Unfortunately, I got into that as a customer. I played at the Indoor Sports Center from the day the building was opened in January of 2000. 10 years later, the then building owner got tired of listening to me complain about how much potential the place had and how mm-hmm. poorly it was run. And this, so I was given an opportunity to take over, and I jumped at the opportunity blindly. Really proud of the 10 years that myself and my partner, Roby Malandruco, and others who supported us ran that facility. Sadly, unfortunately, we came to the realization at the end of a long struggle with many things too, and including COVID, but COVID really was not the ultimate reason we had to look at selling that facility to other than sports users. And ultimately we sold the facility in April, and the persons who bought it are converting it into a, ready for this one, a really exciting use, an indoor mini storage facility, which is...
Wait a minute. There's a storage facility right around the corner.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They're popping up everywhere. I don't know how much stuff people have to store, but right. I don't know that business, but there must be a super high demand, or these developers wouldn't be continuing to build them. But, you know, I hope that the city and the county can work together through the rich park systems that we have mm-hmm. to replace that asset with a bigger and better FISC. I've offered to help with the city and the county. The city owns some land off of Butterfly Lane. There's tremendous opportunity there for the city to have the amenities that we deserve, a natatorium, a gymnasium, and a pool, and an ice skating rink, and even an indoor soccer complex like Fisk was. I don't know, maybe in my lifetime we'll see that. I'll do what I can to help move that forward, but it's really going to take the political will of the city and in partnership, I believe, with the county to work together. There's other things too. There's a library, there's a community rec center that the constituents, residents want in that area that could all be part and parcel of that project. And here's how it can happen. City and county can partner with developers, and they can allow the free marketplace to work with them to see that those amenities are developed by the developers rather than just asking for a school ground.
I don't think the city and county play well with each other all the time, do they? That would require them to partner with each other and get along?
You know, that's a whole other topic for a whole other show. And it's interesting that you bring that up because I think they should.
Yes.
I think that, you know, if you look at city, county, and state, really, you know, we need to see an alliance in a non-competitive way. Very interesting. I had an interview yesterday with one of the candidates running for state office, and she said that it feels sometimes that we're all operating in our own silos. And it was a great analogy. And so, yes, I do see and feel some of that silo effect in the city between city and county. And that's unfortunate because we suffer as taxpayers, as residents, when we can't see that cooperation between city and county. But, you know, the city government and the county government, it's not a should they work together. They absolutely need to work together.
So there are three big deals. I want to go back to the outset of the conversation. We started about three big deals, kind of the Il Forno Shopping Center, the Terrace Lanes. I don't think we ever got into the other big deal that's kind of driving commercial real estate. Is it fair to say that those things are driving interest and driving prices of commercial real estate in Frederick?
They're influencing it, and they're at the tail end of what really drove the demand for development in Frederick. When COVID first hit in March of 2020, the whole world came to a stop, and inventory, which normally becomes available in a spring market, didn't. Then we had the government grants and PPP loans through the Small Business Administration that pumped in a bunch of money into the economy to help businesses get through the pandemic. Then we had plummeting of interest rates. Then the economy changed and COVID created a new economy, and we saw deliveries. Everything became carry out, which led to a hyper expansion of the FedExes and the Amazons and the UPSs and the delivery, which absorbed all of the leftover inventory of industrial properties in Frederick. That's driven demand through the roof. There's a massive complex, two of them, being built on Gashouse Pike, just east of the Riverside Corporate Park right now, where there's close to 2 million square feet coming online of industrial warehouse complexes.
What about when that demand dies out? Because we are changing our habits now as we're getting back to kind of like more normal circumstances. So what if those habits of the consumers change? How are the warehouses going to function?
Yeah, so that's above my pay grade right there, Brian. But let me ask you this. Do you order stuff on your phone?
I do all the time.
Are you going to stop?
Probably not.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, because it's convenient.
Yeah, and so I think the marketplace will dictate the demand for that, and I don't see that changing. I think that we've all become accustomed to everything from groceries to, you know, whatever it is, we're ordering online, and I don't know that that's going to change. Certainly, there was an overexpansion probably already being corrected in some marketplaces where you hear about layoffs in Amazon in particular, because they went too far with the notion of having to be, you know, literally being able to deliver within 2 hours, you know, like they call them last mile centers. Yeah. And so maybe that was a bit extreme. So that might be throttled back a little bit, but something else will come behind it. I mean, none of this was thought of before COVID, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, COVID, everyone thinks, you know, I'm a glass half full guy, and I think COVID was horrific. And I, of course, like everybody, we lost friends, family, everyone. We lived in a fear that we didn't understand. But I choose to see the positives that came out of it, because mm-hmm. we all have to continue to move forward with our lives. And, you know, there was a tremendous economy that grew out of COVID that we can now move forward with.
Yeah. Tony C. talking to us on the Four State Focus Show. Thank you for making us part of your weekend. He is the owner broker VCRE, located in a beautiful downtown office, been in the business of residential and commercial for 30 years. What about property values in Frederick? How have you seen those skyrocket?
So again, going back to March of 2020 as a timeline, that's typically when houses come on the market going into the spring market. That didn't happen. And that imbalance in the marketplace where inventory shriveled up to nothing. I mean, at one point, statistically, there was like 150 to 180 houses on the market total mm-hmm. when there should be 1,200. Mm-hmm. That's how far out of balance the market was. I think today, residential market, there's, you know, somewhere 400 or 500 houses on the market total, which is still woefully inadequate to meet the demand, which causes buyers to have to compete for properties. And you hear about this a lot in the residential market. There's competing offers and there's escalations of prices, and it's driving the prices up. That got exacerbated by and accelerated by the hyper-low interest rates, which doesn't exist today. At one point, you know, residential interest rates were like 2.5%, 3%, really, really low. Historically low. Now the residential market's hovering around 6%, 5.5-6%. So it's cooled off a little bit, but the damage is, if you will, is already done. The impact has already happened, and the rates caused, and the inventory, lack of inventory, caused houses to skyrocket. We have an incredible affordable housing crisis in Frederick mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get corrected by increased demand or a rethinking of the fee structure that's applied to the costs of building. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the physical cost. I'm talking about the soft cost, the impact fees. You know, most people don't realize, but developer and builders pay anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 up front before they even start building. Habitat for Humanity right now is working on a project at Ice Street and All Saint Street. They're doing a 12-unit affordable housing project. The fees are over $300,000 that yeah. Habitat's having to pay to the city to get that project done. It's threatening the viability of Habitat being able to provide a 12-unit affordable housing project in the city of Frederick. That should change.
Yeah. Are we going to see more gentrification? There's gentrification happening in the city. Are we going to see more? Because it seems like the landscape, the overall population is shifting in the city.
100%. I don't see that trend stopping. And, you know, both on the residential and the commercial side, we're going to see more pressure for older complexes that may have a higher and better use because the land value has escalated so much to be converted into higher and better, you know, projects like the one where Terrace Lanes is. Mm-hmm. And you have a bowling alley that is, you know, been there for decades, and the, you know, an older shopping center behind it, that all of that property is being redeveloped into a 300 plus or minus unit infill project with a new streetscape along Patrick and along Terrace Lanes.
So when they bulldoze Terrace Lanes, are they going to push that through back to... How far is that going to go? Are they just going to level it? It's going to look completely different.
Yeah, the whole site will be scraped, and with the exception of Gladchuck's mm-hmm. and the little car lot on the corner, everything else is going to go away. Now, the good news is I've heard that the Terrace Lanes equipment has been sold to a gentleman who's working with the owner of the Fredericktown Mall to relocate and or develop a new bowling alley in the location of where the old Bon-Ton used to be at the Fredericktown Mall. So I hope that does come to pass. Yeah. I'm hopeful for the community that they can work together. I worked for several years with Warehouse Cinemas mm-hmm. to get that project done, and that turned out to be a gem. I mean, they brought an amazing amenity to the community at Warehouse Cinema, so I was really proud of working on that project.
Yeah, love going to Warehouse Cinema with my wife. All right, We're at the end of the show. However, how can people get in touch with you or learn more about VCRE if they want to work with you or just get in contact with you?
Yeah, Ryan, thanks again for having me on the show.
Sure.
I really appreciate
it. Thank you for joining us.
Easiest way to get a hold of me is vcre.co, www.vcre.co, and it is .co, or you can do .com if you prefer. My phone number is 301-471-TONY.
All right.
And that's by design.
Yeah.
That's,
Tony, see, it's branded.
301-471-8669 or 301-471-TONY.
Yeah, by the way, I asked him if it was on purpose when we talked to set up the interview. He said it was. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to the 4 State Focus Show on WFMD and WFRE.